every week someone new would reach out to me on my phone. You're starting a homeschool group? What's this all about? I'm like, I don't know what it's all about, but I want to start something.
1, 2, 3, 4. Another awesome opportunity to interview some amazing people, and I can tell just by their smiles that they're amazing people. We haven't talked yet. Well, actually, I've talked a bit. They haven't talked much at all. So excited to get to know them a little bit. Welcome to the Gifts and Go Spotlight. I want to welcome everyone that's tuning into listening, watching this. Gifts and Go Spotlight is an opportunity where we at Gifts and Go get to talk with some of the campaign owners on Gifts and Go, what they're fundraising for, what they are doing in their part of the world to make a difference. And so this is a super cool opportunity for us. It's something that we really love to do, and we want to continue to grow it as time goes, grow the family of Gifts and Go. Everything that we do at Gifts and Go is focused around trying to create family dynamic. And so welcome to the Spotlight channel. And let's just kick it off to you guys. We're here at this Gifts and Go interview. And how did you ever even come to know about Gifts and Go?
Okay, sure. I'll talk about that. Yeah, I've given through again Gifts and Go. Actually trying to remember back. I figured this would be a question you'd ask me. I was trying to think, what was the first thing I gave to? I was feeling like there was something recently, maybe with the truckers convoy. Well, I'm sure, right? You laugh at that. But that was one of the first gives that we did, was through the truckers convoy.
Okay. Yeah, it's amazing how obviously these, you know, big moments in national, international life can really highlight companies and organizations and what they're doing for good or for bad. I mean, you saw GoFundMe at that moment, and you also saw Gifts and Go. And it's really been an interesting journey from that moment. We were already on one, but that's kind of even just shot us to a greater level. And so grateful that you used us at that moment and now are using us again. We love that. We love people that love what we're doing and are supporting it by using it and then sharing it with the people that they know. So thank you so much. So Let's go through this list. We got Emily, Jennifer, and Jason. All right. So Emily, Jennifer, and what's your connection here? Why don't you tell us a little bit about you guys, who you are, and so we can get to know you.
Okay, sure. So this group is new. We're new friends. About a year ago, my husband and I and my son, we decided to move up to, we're in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. My husband's from here, and we had lived in Columbus, Ohio for, oh my gosh, 25 years prior. So my husband had been gone from home for a long time. We had some changes in our life, and we decided now's the time to move. And I was homeschooling my son at the time, and we had a really rough year getting our house ready to sell and all this. And I'm like, you know, we need an opportunity for my son to get out there when we move and make new meaningful friendships. And that is exactly how it started. I reached out to our local library. I thought that's the best place to start, right? Because I go to the library a lot. I'm sure other homeschoolers go to the library a lot. So I reached out to them and put me in touch with another one of the moms who couldn't be here today. And from there, it was two families. I was moving in the summer, and it turned into this like very organic, quick thing. And it was like, I think Shelby put me in touch with Jen. I don't know. I think, did you put me in touch with JC?
Possibly.
And then it was like, they all just start putting in touch. And it was like every week someone new would reach out to me on my phone. You're starting a homeschool group? What's this all about? I'm like, I don't know what it's all about, but I want to start something. And right. then it kind of blew. Yeah, it was very organic. And it just kind of blossomed from there. We went from two families. And now we're actually, today I put our 20th community member into our system that we have, which system is an Excel spreadsheet. So I put that into there. And kind of just, taken off from there.
Okay. You know, I have to ask, because your accent, which is pretty strong, doesn't really sound like an Ohio accent. Like, Is it?
The Northern Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe it's just picked up from everyone else. And maybe I was meant to have it all along. I don't know.
All right. So you saw Gibson go through the news and various things. You've now used it a couple of times. You're currently fundraising for, you've come together as separate families that have found a desire or had a desire to homeschool your children, and you've created a community out of it, and you're fundraising for that endeavor, kind of build this community group of homeschoolers, and it's grown to some 20 odd families, or like that. That's quite incredible. I mentioned before that I homeschool, probably my wife does more of the homeschooling, but I try to be engaged as much as I can. We have four kids. We are homeschooling them. I was homeschooled for a period when I was growing up. Loved it. I actually think it is even now more than ever needed, because what you see happening in the public schools is just straight up indoctrination with some really interesting ideas. But I want to point people to the campaign page that you do have, and I'm looking at it right now. It's givesango.com/ the letter G, the number 9, the letter T, the number 4, and the letter K. So G9T4K. So anybody that's listening and wants to go and read this story about what they're fundraising for, givesango.com, G9T4K. And so this is a relatively new initiative. It sounds like you're all new on this journey, and it's growing quickly. I think if you read the numbers, and just because we've been homeschooling a little bit ourselves, we've saw like a study come out not too long ago that showed this literally wave of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of families that have said, no, we're not going to be involved in what's happening over there. We're going to take our kids. We're going to make sure that they get a solid foundation and a solid education at the same time. And so you guys are part of that, and you're creating your own local one. I like your t-shirts. Not all classrooms have four walls, right? Is that what it says? Super cool.
Are you or your church planning a mission trip but need help paying for the flights, materials, or accommodations? Look no further than GivesendGo. With our easy-to-use platform, you can quickly and effectively raise funds to share the gospel overseas or even in another state. Go to www.givesendgo.com and find out how we can help make your mission trip a reality.
So is it 20 families or is it 20 children that are a part of this?
We have a field trip coming up. We're going to a local potato farm here in our community. They're going to show us, we're doing a series called How It's Made. So we're going to local businesses and learning how Michigan products are made. In Walther Farms, they make potato chips and grow potatoes. So we're going there, and she reached out to me today, and she said, is there any chance you could maybe give us a headcount for your group? I was like, sure, let me send a text to all of the families. And now we're at 46 people coming. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be like a school. It's the size of a school up here. So I was like, oh, I hope that's not a problem. But 46 people. So
incredible. That's awesome.
We're in a really rural area. It's not like there's really people. We're really rural.
I mean, it was a challenge to find a place that had Wi-Fi. I got my mother-in-law's house. I was like, where are we going to find Wi-Fi? Do you have it? So that's kind of how rural it is where we are.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's fantastic. I wish I didn't have Wi-Fi most of the time because I find myself overly connected too often. And so that's fantastic. So potato farm. Now, is this fundraiser that you're doing right now for something that specifically, a field trip or anything in general, just a general fund?
Sure. It's actually the first priority for any funds that we raise is next school year. We want to start a co-op. So I don't know if you're familiar with a co-op, but it's like a family led. We're going to meet once a week, and we're going to have maybe 3 or 4 hour block of time out once a week where it's almost like a school day. Gives our kids an opportunity. The parents will be, hear from different people.
See a little bit different topics, learn a few different things from different, you know, community members even. And yeah, just get to be together with different kids. So there's the social aspect. There's the variety. There's and learning right. from someone other than mom and dad. I'm hearing from somewhere else. that as well. So that's really priority one, to kind of help cover rent for a building for us to be able to do that. None of us have a home big enough to have everyone in it. So paying rent for that. And then beyond that, any extra funds we raise will be to help for field trips, right? Help cover costs. Some of the field trips can be, you know, if you go to the zoo, even if it's $10 a person and you have 5, 7, 8 kids, it's very expensive to go to the zoo or something. So it's kind of meant to help that. And then general funds as well for us. We meet once a week now. Yeah. Supplies.
So when you go to school, some of that's provided, but when you're getting together as families, trying to make sure they get all the things you needed. So
you're buying your own curriculum. You're buying everything yourself as a homeschool family. It just kind of helped to offset some of that cost.
Sure. Yeah. Do you find, or are you attempting, I know that there is this kind of delves into maybe some of the politics of some of that, but I know part of our mindset, and I think any homeschooling family is, okay, we pay property taxes. Some of this money, or a large portion of this money, goes towards the school system. Should we be getting a credit or some sort of voucher back? Do you guys do any advocacy or anything around, or have you even thought about?
We don't do anything yet, but does that cross my mind?
I need some more money. Yeah. Right. So with the co-op, I'm just curious, because I've, like I said before we started, I'm one of 12 children. So I've got this large family of siblings, and there's now almost, I think, close to 40 grandchildren just within my own sibling, like first cousins. Nieces and nephews, that type of thing. And so a bunch of my siblings are homeschooling as well, and they bring all of their kids to like one sibling's house and they do something there for a day, but the other parents aren't there necessarily, so they're all just hanging out. Does a parent have to be with their kids when they're there, or are some of you just taking it over and running a lesson for the day, and parents are dropping their kids off and letting it go? Or is it a parent always engaged with their kid when they're there?
Yeah. And I think, I might teach a class that, you know, her kids might be in, but she might be, and we're going to break our co-op into different like age groups, like little kids, middle kids, and big kids. So I might be teaching a class. Like one of the things I will be teaching is economics and history. So I might be teaching a history class to our big kids, our 13 and over kids, and she has a child in that classroom, but she might be in with the little kids doing art projects instead. Right. So not necessarily in the same room, but still
same building.
In the same building, right?
Yeah. Right. I'm curious. Are you guys using a curriculum in particular? Any curriculum in particular? Are you developing your own?
We're developing our own.
As far as the co-op, is that what you mean? Yeah, as far as the co-op.
Yes.
We all use our own curriculums at home.
Yeah.
More of our co-op classes will kind of be like classes you might not have at home. Right. So, you know, you might have someone who's really gifted in engineering. So they might teach something. I like history. Okay.
I'm going to do more natural health type things. So I've done a class like with the kids already with reflexology and teaching them about herbs. We went on a walk. To show them what pine trees and then how you can use pine needles for tea and how to identify it. So I'm going to teach some kind of, I haven't totally delineated it yet, but some kind of a natural health type aspect for the kids.
Very cool. So in your own personal families, and I'm asking these questions just because I want as much insight as I can to bring back to my wife, what curriculums do you use? Like, what are you using for within your own homes? Or are you using, like, I will say that for our first year, and we've bounced back and forth with unschooling, which was really like, hey, we're just going to make living a learning experience. Like, it's not that, this is really life should be learning all the time and everything that you're doing. And I don't want to make, like your shirt says, I don't want to make children think that the only place that they learn is seated in a classroom somewhere. It's like, no. And, you know, it's everywhere all the time, and it should be fun. So that being said, we did that unschooling type of thing, which was really just flexible and open. And over the past couple of years of doing it now, we've solidified a little bit more classical conversations. I think we've pulled some from some of what they've done. But give me your insight into some of the stuff that you've done.
All right, I'll go first. I've homeschooled for 8 years. My oldest was 3 and he was just ready to go. I had nothing else to do because we had moved at the time. And I was like, all right, well, let's do school. And through the years, you know, that's 9 years homeschooling, I have found things that I love and I found things that just don't work for us. And I think that's the beauty of homeschooling, is tailoring it to how your child learns.
Right.
This was the first year where, like, I tried to piece it together from different curriculums and I hated it. That's not my personality. So I tend to do better with like a curriculum that has everything set out for me. And so ones that I've tried was Abeka. They're pretty good, but that's hardcore. That is 6 or 7 subjects and you're doing school from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. That didn't work for us either. That was intense. It's good. Like, it's really, really good, but it was too much for trying to teach 4 or 5 kids. And so a curriculum that I really like is called Horizons. And I just keep going back to that. And I'm the type of person that I've tried like 3 or 4 different things. And it's just figuring out what works best for your kid.
Right. Really.
And I have a kid who has to be on an exercise ball constantly moving. And he will get his schoolwork done in an hour. And then I have my studious bookworm who would rather spend 3 hours doing school. So he wants all the books.
Wow. And so,
yeah. I don't think I'm much help with saying like, try this or that curriculum. I think it's knowing your kid and how they learn best.
Right.
And what their interests are in, because I have a son who, he does school for 3 hours and then he has a job for another 3 hours. To me, I want him in the real world working hard, learning, you know, economics and money and how to communicate with people. So,
right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, it completely makes sense. Yeah, it completely makes sense. And it really is something that, and this is partially just the dynamic of what the traditional public school is facing, is that they are trying to mass produce something. So individualism gets lost. And the value of what homeschooling does for children is you really can see where the child's at and then work to their strengths and the things that you're seeing that are flourishing inside of them. And that's where there's so much power. We're foster parents as well. So we get foster kids coming into our home all the time. And it's amazing. It's literally all of them, but they're all put on some sort of attention deficit drug to calm them down so that they can fit in with all the other kids that are sitting neatly at their desks. And in our home, we're huge advocates for these kids. And we're like, no. Okay, we're going to get rid of that stuff. But we're going to let them, most of them are young boys, and boys just tend to be a little bit more active and fidgety, whatever else. And what we find is, no, they're just a normal boy that's more active and needs more playtime and needs more like running around and whatever. And those aren't bad things. They actually are great things. And so we try to encourage those. And it's really the detriment of where our current public system is. Teachers are overwhelmed. They have to try to keep some order. They can't cater to any one kid. It's just too much. So then they throw them on a medication because they're acting out or whatever. And goes back to the benefit. One of the biggest benefits is what you said. You get to know your kids and see them and how they flourish and how they work, and then build off of that. So that's fantastic. Makes complete sense to me. That was really good. So, and can anyone top that? I mean, I think that was pretty. maybe we should finish the conversation right there. Like, I think that was really, really cool.
Well, I'm kind of unique because I have one that's in public school, I have one that's in charter school, and I have one at home that she can say unschooling. She's only 3, but we homeschooled our oldest during the pandemic for a couple of years. And she did the ACE. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Accelerated Christian Education. She's an independent learner. And so like, she just needed something that she could keep doing. She was pretty used to being on a regimented schedule. So we just kind of stuck with that, but she really missed the social aspect. So I'm kind of one of those parents. We do what works for our kid in that moment. But if things change, we will pull them out and do the homeschooling thing, but I love being involved with the group. I bring my three-year-old to, well, I'm planning on going to the field trip, and I like helping out with the different things. So like I said, I taught the classes with the homeschoolers, and we did a culture club, and I've been to Thailand, so I presented Thailand to the culture club.
Wow.
So I like being involved, and I like that kind of an aspect where, yeah, like we can all figure out what works best for our kids, especially in the moment. Sometimes that can change from season of life to seasons of life. So, and I fully expect that at some point, but for now it works where we're at. So, yeah.
Right. Very cool. All right. I know that I think this worked well. We haven't gotten there. None of our kids are high school age yet, but for me, I grew up, and this is partially just the dynamics of 12 children. There's complexities there. We were going to a private Christian school when I was young, but by the time I got to fifth grade, there was like eight of us in school age, and that just was too expensive to afford. Isn't feasible. So my mom's like, well, then I'll homeschool. And so she then took us all in homeschooling up until the age of four through eighth grade. And then we would go to high school. And so that was the path that we all got a good foundation from there, and then went on to high school. But yeah, worked well for us. I don't know how it's going to work for our kids. Our kids seem to be really content with the structure that we have. They like it. At least, you know, maybe they had some trauma at school that I don't know, because they're really like, we don't want to go back there. We like how it's working here. But okay, so very cool. So you're the tag along. You're kind of scoping it out in the middle. I got you, Jennifer. I got it. Okay.
Share hope with people in need. Use GiveSendGo to fundraise for the people and causes you care about. Whether it's a friend in the hospital or your church's mission trip, make a difference with GiveSendGo today. Visit www.givesendgo.com and start your fundraising journey now.
And Emily, what's your strategy in homeschooling so far?
Sure. If you would have asked me 5 years ago if I would be homeschooling my son, I would have been like, no, like, what are you talking about? But when COVID happened, my son was in kindergarten. He went to public school and got sent home and kind of just completely changed our lives. My husband and I were both working. Everyone got sent home. I was trying to teach him, and I was trying to be on the phone for my job, and it wasn't working. And then, you know, first grade for him was virtual through a school. He went through a school district for first grade. And at that point, I was doing almost all of the teaching, because I realized what he was learning in school didn't match up with what he needed to be learning. And his teacher was the first person to point that out. She said, this isn't what he needs to be doing. He needs to be doing this, this, and this. And she's like, you are more than capable of doing this yourself, which is, you wouldn't think public school teacher would tell you that. Wow. She did. And she's like, you are the perfect candidate to do this. You should do this and run with it and not look back. And so we did. And it just kind of went from there. And here we are. And now it works really well for my son. You'd asked about curriculum. I use one called Moving Beyond the Page. And it's a literature-based curriculum. I only use it for, yeah, he loves to read. So he's a reader. And I like to read. So it makes sense. So we do a lot of reading. And then we also use it for math. It's a really good math curriculum. Everything else, history. I love history. I like economics. So I use Tuttle Twins to teach that. I love them. And I also use that program called Liberty Kids, which is Revolutionary War history for kids. I teach that to him, which he loves both of those. He's a Tuttle Twin enthusiast and anything history, which is great, probably because I like it. He probably likes it so much. And then science, we do just a lot of like exploration through nature. We do science in our kitchen, a lot of science is things, making big messes, doing that sort of thing. So we don't just use one, you know, like you, we don't just use one thing because one thing for us, it just wouldn't work.
Right. Very cool. Well, it's awesome to see different styles for different families, and then yet a community aspect to all of it, which is great in bringing it all together. And there's so much value to community in learning, and the approach to learning, and the strength that we can all lend and get from each other. I'm going to reference your page one more time to everybody, if you want to go check this co-op group out in their fundraising story, givesango.com, G9T4K, givesango.com, G9T4K. Tell me how you pronounce
Taquamanon.
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 That's very fascinating. I'm imagining some sort of Native American.
We should probably look into that more and teach that to the kids.
Awesome. Well, any last words to tell our GiveSango audience here about what you're doing? Anything that you want to share before we sign off for the evening?
I just want to tell you, thank you. Yeah. I did not know how this happened, how you found our little tiny organization, and you want to spotlight us. I mean, that to us means so
encouraging
much, and it's very encouraging. So yeah. We appreciate the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. No, it's definitely our privilege, our pleasure. We love doing this, and we've got so many cool things to come, and maybe we'll do a follow-up down the road as things develop. We'd love to touch base again in the future as things continue to move forward. I see a lot of success in front of the path that you have. I think there's so many good things. I do have one question. Have you gotten a phone call from anyone on the GiveSendGo team yet? Do you know?
I had an email from the press
okay.
Out, I've not. No, not a phone call.
All right. Yeah. Well, so one of the things I mentioned early on that we call typically every campaign, we pray with the campaign owner or the recipient. And so it's cool to hear if and when that happens. Sometimes people never get it, if they did get it or not, just getting feedback on some of the stuff that we do. So happy that you guys are using us. Continue to share Give, Send, Go with everyone that you know. That's, you know, that's how we change culture, you know, as it, yeah. I didn't talk too much about who GiveSendGo is. You might have got picked up a little bit of that just from talking with me, but we are a platform that loves people from all different backgrounds and perspectives. We believe in freedom as a fundamental ethos for how we do life here in America, but even around the world. We want to give people a platform where they can voice things, even things that we might not necessarily agree with. But value the freedom that was paid for people to voice those things. And so that's what we're going to continue to stand on. There's tension there sometimes, but the more people share about us, the more that we engage in this marketplace and take down our competitors, the more of a voice we'll have for freedom in our society. So definitely appreciate you guys using us. Best of luck in your journey, and we will be in touch in the days, months, weeks ahead, and look forward to seeing what happens on the other side of this story. So with that, have a great night, and thank you for being a part of the Give, Send, Go Spotlight.
Thank you.
Thank you.